All right, you guys can start coming back to me. All right, who in here actually just met someone that they had never met before for the first time? Okay, I saw like 20 hands. I think that's a win. Hey, there's no real point to that this morning. It doesn't have anything, it kind of does have to do with our message actually and the series that we're in. But I think it should always be a practice for us, regardless of whether we're prompted to or in the middle of wake or not. I think we should get to know and have eyes for people that maybe we don't know, or maybe it's their first time here at Wake. And so a way that you can make a Wake is by using your influence to go and find people and invite them in and to bring them into your circle or into Wake if you are a longtime attender. So with that being said, I hope you guys had an amazing Thanksgiving break. My family and I, we went to Oklahoma City. Honestly, I think Texas is the best state of all time. I'll just say it. But we went to Oklahoma, and now we're back in Dallas, and we're excited to be here. So this morning, I love that. This morning, we are going to be continuing our series on titled Make a Wake. And this is going to be our last message in this series. And so we've talked about what it looks like to be influential with our words, with our relationships. And today we're going to talk about what does it mean to make a wake with our sports, our hobbies, and our activities. So what does it look like for you to be influential in your sports, your hobbies, and your activities? And so before we dive into that, though, I want to ask you guys, right, we've been talking about influence through this series. So who do you think, when I ask you the question, who are some of the most influential people that come to your mind? Right, in my head, I got a few. I'll just throw them up here. The first one is this girl, Travis Kelce's girlfriend, I think is who she is, right? All right, that's who I know her as. Maybe, all right, some of you know her as Taylor Swift, right? You would say she's pretty influential, right? Okay. Another one that comes to my mind, right? One of the most influential people, the greatest basketball player of all time, LeBron James. All right, okay. And then last one, not very controversial. Maybe you think of Justin Bieber. Anyways, I don't know. All right. Okay. I've successfully, I think, got everyone in here very energized about and passionate about Taylor Swift and LeBron James. But, all right, come back to me. There's a reason why I show you guys those pictures this morning. Right? The reason I show you those pictures is because I think many of us in this room, when we think of influential people, we think of influence in terms of popularity. I think a lot of us think of influence in terms of popularity, but that's not the influence that I'm talking about this morning. The influence that we've been talking about through this series, I would define it as the effect that you can have on others through your words, your actions, and your relationships. The effect that you can have on others through your words, your actions, and your relationships. And here's really the spoiler to this entire series is that we all have words, actions, and relationships. And so you can all be influential in the different circles or things that you are a part of through your words, through your relationships. And today we're going to talk about really through your actions and through sports. How can you be influential in the things that you do and that you are a part of? Right? And so I want to even start this morning. I'll tell you a personal story about one of the sports that I played in high school. So I got to high school my freshman year, and I tried out for the baseball team. I thought that that would be the thing that I put all my worth. I had lived my life being so excited and ready to play baseball in high school, but my freshman year, I got cut. I didn't make the team. And so I was really discouraged. I was really sad, and I thought, man, I don't know where I'm going to find my purpose and my identity in high school because I had really bet a lot of it. All right, guys, I know I got us all excited, but come back in. I had bet a lot of my high school career on playing a sport, on playing baseball. So I stayed on as the manager of the baseball team for a few years, but by the time I got to my junior year, I was like, man, all of these other people have something that they can go, hey, oh, do you know that guy? He plays football. Or do you know that person? They're in choir. Do you know that person? They're in band. They had something to define themselves by, or really a label to go by, and I didn't have that. And so my junior year of high school, I decided, all right, I ran track in middle school. I'm going to come back. I'm going to run track in high school. I'm going to make the greatest comeback of all time. So I tried out for the track team. I made it, really, because I think everybody makes the track team. But I tried out. I made it. And so I started running hurdles. And I got ready my junior year to run my first track meet. It was a practice track meet. And so we're running against one other school, and I ran hurdles. And so I was ready. I lined up. I remember my heart beating so fast. I was so excited. These are some senior pictures. Guys, think about your senior pictures a little more than I did. I'm not super proud of these, but that's me with my track spikes, my senior year. I lined up for my first race of the year, and I'm ready. This is my junior year. I'm ready to run, and honestly, I was really nervous. I didn't know how it would go. That's actually a different race. That's my senior year, so I'll get to that story here in a second. But my junior year, I line up for this practice track meet, and it's me and one other person, right? There's only one other guy running hurdles, and so we line up, and we start, and we take off. And I mean, I got smoked. I lost by so far, it was unreal. Because what I found out after the track meet was the guy that I was racing against had won the state championship in hurdles the year before. And so I'll just say, it wasn't a great start to my hurdles career. My confidence was shot. I was like, man, I got so embarrassed. All my friends were around looking at me. They were all like, man, what just happened? I tripped over tons of hurdles, and I remember finishing that race my junior year and going, I will never be embarrassed like this again. Like, that's my goal. I want to continue to run track, but my goal from here on out is to never be as embarrassed as I am right now. The way that I feel, how far and how badly I got beaten and how all these people were looking at me, I don't ever want to be embarrassed like that. So from then on, my track career really was defined by me just trying to survive. I just tried to survive. I'd always be in the middle of the pack. Whenever we do weightlifting, I'd always try to skip or get out of it because I didn't want other people to look at me and be like, man, look at how much weight Jonathan's lifting. He can't lift that much. All these different insecurities started to come out through me running track. And I thought, my goal is just to not be embarrassed. Except for one day at practice my junior year, this guy, his name was Blake Gardner, he came up to me. And we had been running these like 400s, these laps around the track. And he was like, hey, Jonathan, I noticed that when you run, you kind of start off really fast and really strong, but then you just kind of stay in the middle of the pack most of the time. I've also noticed that you don't always lift weights with us when we after practice when we get to go in the gym and lift. He's like, hey, I've also noticed that really I don't feel like you kind of try, like you're just kind of here on a daily basis. And he was right about all of those things. And he was encouraging me to be better and to really stop just kind of trying to survive. And it was really influential to me because he saw some of the insecurities that I had. Unfortunately, at the time, I didn't realize that a lot of those insecurities were because I didn't have a strong relationship with Jesus. But I started to really think about, hey, how can I grow in my confidence in track? And so my senior year, I continued to run hurdles, and there was a guy named Chris Spillers. And so you can see me, I'm in the blue with my long sleeve shirt on, and then a guy in the blue right behind me there, that's Chris. Chris was a junior, and we ran hurdles together, and we became pretty good friends. But I started to see in him some of the things that I felt, I think, when I was a junior the year before. Some of those insecurities, just kind of trying to get by, not really giving it his all. And so I remember lining up for that first track meet with Chris that day. And he was really, really nervous. Chris was really